Last night, I there was a video that I watched last night called The Finger of God. How many of y'all have seen that video? Have y'all seen that video, Finger of God? And it was a documentary where a guy had gone around filmed all over the world, church services and things that were going on where God was really moving. Let me change that. So it wasn't just where God was really moving. It was just where big things were happening, I guess you could say. A lot of people and a lot of things happening. I was watching the video and looking at it, and I was watching the people. I made some observations. First observation I noticed is that most every person that was in the church service that was around there was a very common person. I don't know if y'all noticed this, you guys that watched it or whatever, just very common, simple people. They were not, wasn't high-class church. It's just church. Most of the churches were all over the world. Some of it was up in some of the things that happened in Toronto, the Toronto Blessing and other different places where God has moved in a big way. But a lot of it was places that I usually go, to the backwoods churches and Africa. There was even Sofia, Bulgaria and the Gypsies and all these places that I've been and I've seen. And it interested me. Because as I was watching the video and watching what was going on, I was looking at the people and looking at what they were doing. And a little different flow than a lot of the people I've been with, but still the same move of God, still the same things going on. And as I began to watch the video and I was just watching people and people were being healed and people were being touched and God was moving, I was telling my wife, I said, you know what's funny is y'all have no idea of what I've seen. Because I've been in that for the last 25 years of my life. Everything going on, everything I've seen is like that. It's just like, yeah, that's the kind of church services we have in Bulgaria. Yeah, that's where the kind of church services we have in the Gypsies. And yeah, that's what we have in Sakapa with Sister Annie. Yeah, that was when we were Jerry Lackey over in Africa and Botswana. Yeah, that's what the church service looks like when I did the tent meeting over there. Thousands of people were there and going, yeah, that's exactly what it looked like. I was telling Laura, because she wasn't with me. And I said, yeah, everything I see on here is exactly what I've seen the last 20 years of my life, 25 years of my life, just going around the world, seeing people healed, seeing people touched. But as I watched the video, I was saddened because very little of it is anything going on in America. Well, I'm going to get to that, but go ahead. I'll let you say whatever. That happens here. So what I was going to say was that as I began to look and I began to see what was going on and the things that were happening with people and things that were going on. And I got through listening to Brother Ivan and telling me about all the churches he's going to and the things that he sees not good. And I'm thinking about, wow, what a shame that here's this whole documentary of 2.5 hours of God doing miracles and there wasn't anything in a church in America. Now, some of those churches that they were at, that there were white people in, I'm assuming they were Canadians because I know that was a Airport Toronto church, but I there could have been a clip of someplace else in America, but predominantly it wasn't. And then I began to think about y'all and I began to think about y'all's faces and I think about how the things that God's done in y'all's lives. And that how, though to the world it may not look dramatic, to us it has been dramatic. Right? I mean, I began to think about what the Holy Spirit has really done in our lives over those past 20 years and moving and people, families getting saved and then the whole family gets saved and comes in. And I mean, we've got that in numerous people in the churches where it was a household salvations. It's not any different than what was written in the book of Acts chapter 16, where it says household salvations when everybody in the household gets saved. They used to not be saved. Now they are saved. Right? And I begin to be encouraged as I watch the thing, thinking about, you know, I don't know what's going on in the rest of the world, but I know what's going on here. Right? I don't know what's going on in the rest of the world, and I can't stand up for everybody else, but I know what's going on here, and that God is moving here. And that there is miracles taking place, and there is great things going on, and the devil wants us to believe ain't nothing happening. Amen? But still down on the inside of me, I long for more of God. I long for more of God. Not wilder services, not longer services, not you know, whatever. I mean, I don't care if they are wild or they're long. I'm just saying it's not an outward manifestation I'm looking for. I just want to see more of God. I want to see more families get saved and brought into the kingdom. I want to see more people delivered from drugs. I want to see more people saved. I want to see more people getting their lives touched. And I want to see it. I'm hungry for it. To see more of God moving. Amen? Are you? To see our neighbors that don't know Jesus come to know Jesus. And there was something that I thought was so funny. In this video, there was this one part where there was I don't know, I'm guessing age here, a young 20-ish year old guy that was on the streets, and he was just going up to any homeless person, pray for him, go up to anybody in the college campus and just pray for him, and just very bold, very, very just not necessarily wild or crazy or, you know, he wasn't wearing a bed sheet and had a giant family Bible or racking a tambourine, you know, just very bold just to walk up to somebody and just say, you know, I see you're limping, you know, can I pray for you? And then God would do miracles. And it just kind of, this guy reminded me of, like, if you'd say somebody has ADD, he was just like on ADD for Jesus, you know. I mean, you know, it's just, and as I watched him go out there, I thought to myself, you know, it's just simple boldness. It's just simple. You know, how many times in our lives have you been with a friend or a neighbor or whatever, and somebody says something, and you just say, well, let's pray about that, or why don't you come go to church with me, or why don't you, you know, let's read the Bible together. Whatever. Folks, but I'm just telling you, I believe that it's time for us to turn up the boldness. Not the craziness, not the Pentecostalism, and I don't mean that in a negative sense. I'm just saying we don't need to turn up a Pentecostal denomination. What we need to turn up is just the boldness of what the Bible says and if it's true. And why can't we just pray for people and see God heal? Why can't we just pray for those that are hurting? We don't have to, you know, it's been so funny because, you know, you don't have to go to somebody and say, yay, hey, thus saith God, I see in your life. No, I say, just say, hey, can we pray? Looks like you're hurting. Why can't we bring God down to some simplicity and some just normalcy? And you know, let's kind of say normalcy, what I'm talking about, Christian normalcy, where we just, Christians pray. What's wrong with Christians praying? Right? Nobody, the world wants us to do nothing anymore. They want us to take, you know, in God we trust off our money and don't say anything about the Pledge of Allegiance, don't mention God's name or anything, but Christians pray. That's what we do. We pray. Any church, any kind of Christian, you say, what is one thing? We pray. We read our Bibles. We tell people what the Bible says. It's really pretty simple, isn't it? We don't have to make it so complicated. We don't have to make everything in the world so over the top, so complicated that we can't get, why can't we just be simple? But as I looked across all those crowds of faces of those people, pretty average Joes. It's pretty average people. Kind of makes you think that when Jesus said the meek shall inherit the earth, he says here in John chapter 16, verse 13, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Isn't that what we want? To be guided into all truth in our lives? Listen to me, I'm telling you right now, every one of us sitting here today, I don't care who you are, you say, no, I got it down, everything's going good. Now, listen, all of us who are walking in some areas of our life that we're walking in rough places when we could be walking in smooth places, if we could just find the truth of why what's going on in our lives needs to change and what we need to do, and the Holy Ghost has the answer. It's like years and years ago, I you know, it's so funny. When I finally started putting faith into believing that God was speaking to me through the power of the Holy Spirit, and then I weighed everything he said by the word, But I remember one time I was having, man, just terrible stomach problems. I mean, this is way back. And I was just, I just seemed like every morning I got up and I ate breakfast and I just had this acid after I got through with my, you know, breakfast and just went to work. And I was working as a carpenter then. It just wasn't right. I remember one time saying, Lord, this is so stupid. Can you tell me what am I doing wrong? And I mean, this is everybody's metabolism's different. Everybody's body's different. So what he told me may not have any application to you, but he said, quit drinking iced tea and eating peanut butter. And I used to get kind of crazy with peanut butter because I really love peanut butter. And so I'd make toast in the morning, but I could get a lot of peanut butter on top of a piece of toast. And I'd cut up a banana and stick it on top of there and douse it with a little bit of grape jelly on top of it. And that was my breakfast, you know. Sounded all nice and good and healthy, you know. But I'd drink iced tea, and I'd drink the kind of iced tea that, you know, like instant iced tea. You put it in there and stir up, get a big old froth on it about like that, you know. That's what I drank. That was my breakfast every morning. I didn't drink coffee in those days. And it's just tearing me up. And I quit, and everything changed. It's just a simple word. You see what I'm saying? It was an evident of something changed when I did that, my body. Why is that so outlandish, you see? Why wouldn't God want to talk to you and tell you through the Holy Spirit what you may need or not to correct to get into some smooth ways? We need the Spirit of truth in our life. We need the Spirit of truth every day. We need to be praying every day for the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in truth. But you got to really want it. Right? We got to really want it. Because he may speak to us the truth, but we don't want to change. And that's where we come into a problem. Because the Holy Spirit's speaking to us the truth, and then we know it's the truth. It's not like somebody came and told you. There's a difference between worldly truth and the Holy Ghost truth. See, it's funny because somebody can come up to you, and say, well, Robert, if you quit drinking iced tea and eating peanut butter, your stomach probably could be better. And I'd say, oh, well, what do you know? Right? But I knew it was the Spirit of God spoke to me. But there's a lot of things he speaks to us about because we're praying, oh, Lord, I just don't know what to do. And he tells us what to do. He said, well, I don't know what to do. And he tells us what to do. He said, I don't know what to do, Lord, because I ain't doing that. Yeah, what else can I do? Yeah. Yeah. See, I'm just talking about where we all are in life. If we want to see God flow more in our lives, we want to see God flow more in our church, we've got to have the Spirit of truth speak to us and tell us what we need to do in our own lives. Not, oh, Lord, tell me what I need to tell Pastor Robert to change so the Spirit of God will flow more. No, tell me what I need to do to change to come to church and bless Pastor Robert. That'd be a good prayer. Isn't it funny that we want everything else around us to change so that we don't have to change? We want all the world to stop and rotate the other way on its axis and spin the other way just a little bit so that we don't have to make any adjustments in our lives. We just want everybody else to adjust. Am I right? I mean, I'm just preaching good here. Right? We don't want to alter things. We don't want to change things. But it says that the Spirit of truth will come into us and he's going to guide us. Listen, he'll guide us into all truth. That doesn't mean, he didn't say he'd shove us, force us down the chute of truth. He said he would guide us. Like, I think you should go this way. Right? Or maybe he's got like the flashlights, like a plane, you know, he's going, trying to guide us, direct us, you know? No, turn, turn, turn. I don't know, but he says he'll guide us, not force us. He's not going to speak on his own authority, but he's going to speak whatever he hears. He will speak. I've always kind of seen it this way. God and Jesus having a talk because he's ever living to intercede for you. And so he says to God, Lord, Robert, we need some help. You see what he's going into, this and that and the other. And Father God speaking back to Jesus, and the Holy Ghost hears and then comes down and tells us. I mean, like I say, I like things simple. It's about as simple as I can explain how he could hear something and come down and tell us. Right? He's going to tell. Okay, then he says in verse 14, he will glorify me and he will take of what is mine. He's going to declare it unto you. He's going to bring the gifts. In John 17, he says, Jesus prayed. He said, Lord, the glory that you gave me, give unto them. Jesus wants us walking in blessings. Jesus wants us walking in health. Jesus wants us walking in not craziness in our heads. Jesus wants us to walk in wholeness. And while we're walking in wholeness, then tell everybody else around us about how good he is, about what he did for us. Hello? Isn't that the simplicity of the gospel? How have we made it so complicated? How have we made the simple, 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 simple gospel so complicated? There's one segment last night when in Mozambique, a lady was giving a service and she said she called, made an altar call for the deaf lady to come forward because God wanted to heal this deaf lady. And so she said, you called the lady to come forward, and then nothing happened. And it went on like 20 minutes, and she kept making a call for the deaf lady to come forward. And the deaf lady didn't come forward, but she wasn't going to preach because God told her, said there was going to, the deaf lady. And the first thing I thought of is, if she's deaf, how does she know what she's saying? How can you give the call for the deaf lady to come up if the deaf lady can't hear? I mean, that's just something I just, you know, just happened to just. And so then in a minute, I guess somebody told, hey, they're calling for a deaf lady. It must be you, you know. And somebody signed to the deaf lady or however she knew, whatever. And she came up and then she was healed. But you know, in when I was in Chile back in, I don't even remember the year, late 90s. And I was in a church service and I heard God as plain as day tell me to call for that there was four deaf people in the church that were deaf in their left ear and to come up and he would heal them. And five people came up. And I said four and five came up. And so I didn't, you know, I mean, I wasn't going to tell somebody to sit down or whatever. I didn't know what to do. I was just trying to stay out of trouble, you know. And so I said, I went to the first person. I laid my hands on him and I prayed. And the guy his eyes just popped open. And I said, you know, and we had the interpreter, you know, get down there beside him and talk to him. And he said, yeah, you can hear. You could hear out of his ear. And went to the next one. Next one, all four. Went to the fifth one and prayed for him. And he wasn't healed. Four were, and the fifth one wasn't. So I stepped back to say, well, Lord, I don't understand this. Because, you know, these four just having a fit, just jumping up and down and rejoicing. That poor other guy's just standing there. I felt sorry for him, you know. And I was like, man, what do I do, Lord? The guy got, you know, of course, thinking. In my head, I said, what's the guy? Sin in his life. Must be something wrong with him. You know, must have done something really bad. Needs to repent or something because, you know, he didn't get healed and, you know, and something's going on. How come four got healed and the fifth one didn't? And finally I thought, wait a minute, you said four, not five. And while I was just going on, rattling in my head, it was like the Holy Ghost turned and said, would you just shut up for a minute? And I walked up to the guy and I said, excuse me, sir. I said, are you deaf in your left ear? He said, no, it's my right. And I said, like, man, am I a genius or what? And so I said, well, because the Lord said left ears, and he was right. So I said, well, let's just pray for this man. You know, anyway, we prayed for him, and that ear popped open. But see, I was sitting there thinking, what's wrong? Oh, my gosh, something's wrong, something's wrong, something's wrong, something's wrong. Well, it's just the other ear. I didn't know. And I think in life, what the point I'm trying to say is in life, we're going along, we're praying, saying, Jesus, what's going on? Why is this thing happening? Why is this happening? Oh, God, what are we supposed to be doing? What are we supposed to be doing? What are we supposed to be doing? When really he just wants us to just be quiet and say, well, would you stop? Wait a second. Listen, let me talk to you. You know, it's one of those things when you're trying to make it work and it won't work, and so you just keep getting a bigger hammer. When really you ought to stop and look at it and say, huh. I always love to tell this story on myself because it's so perfect. When I lived in a rent house in Sabinal years ago, the sink faucet got to where it wouldn't shut off. It was one of these, you know, center control faucets, and you'd shut it off, but it would just keep running. And so we didn't have any money, and I didn't have enough money to go buy a whole sink faucet. And the deal was I'd made with this person I was renting the house for. If anything broke, I'd fix it. And so I was praying, oh God, how are we going to get this thing fixed? And so I called the guy I was working with, and I said, hey, man, you ever tried to mess with one of these? He says, yeah, this is a washer kit for it. Just go down and get the washer kit. It's all you need. So it's just a couple of bucks. I said, really? So I went down there. Sure enough, there's a washer kit. And so I got it and came back, and, you know, it was for the deal and everything. And so I set it all out there. And so, you know, I do better with large tools. You know, when it comes to more delicate pieces of things, I don't do real well. And so I decided I could take this faucet apart. So I shut the water off, and I started to take this faucet off, and I got it all apart real slowly, looking at how every piece came out, and I got it all out and put it all out, laid it all out on the cabinet, and then got the other pieces and tried to put it all back together the same way and put it back in there, and it just ran more water. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And so I shut it all off again, you know, and tried to look at the pieces and look what I took out and put it all back together again. Did it, you know, I did this about three times every time. Never, it was always the same. Just ran more water out of it. It was better off just barely running what it was. And my wife comes by and she gets involved. And so she says, she looks at it and she says, well, what about that little washer right there? What if you just flipped it over? And I said, what do you know? They said, how many of these have you ever fixed? You know, at least I've been around it. I mean, you think that thing would have any, you know, any? It would make any difference at all. I mean, that stupid washer wouldn't make any difference at all. Matter of fact, I'll just show you how stupid that is that they even come up with the thing. So I flipped that washer and put that thing together, and it just worked perfect. Ooh, boy, was I in trouble. Taught me a lesson. See? There you go. There you go. Amen. You see? Just instruction of the Holy Ghost. See, my prayer has been, that is exactly what I want to see happen more and more. I don't have to lay hands on everybody and pour oil on everybody till their hair falls out, or, you know? I wanted to see God move and heal simplistically by faith. Right out there, just moving the people and just people be healed because they came into the presence of Jesus. Isn't that what it's all about? Just coming in the presence of Jesus. But I'm telling you, the presence of Jesus is there for us all the time, because does not the Bible tell us where there's two or more gathered together in his name, he's here in our midst? Well, does that mean that or not? Does it really mean it or not? If it does mean it, that means no matter where you are, whether the music was right or the songs were played or the service went off as if the service should go because of what we traditionally do. Well, I didn't feel God tonight. He wasn't really moving because they didn't play the right songs. Well, wait a minute. If we gather together in his name here, two of us were, he was already in our midst. What more do we need than Jesus? You see what I'm talking about, church? You see how easy it is to get off? See how easy it is to get over and say, oh, well, we got to do this or we got to do that. We got to hold our mouth just right, because when I was holding my mouth just right, God moved one time. So I got to hold my mouth just right. Am I right? It's got to be this way or that way. It has to be this or it has to be that. We got to get back to the simplicity of just, it's his presence and we're here in the midst of it. And we get so hungry for him that we're going to get hold of the anointing of God, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, however you want to put it. Heaven comes into our life. The kingdom of God comes over our life. It was funny because as this movie was playing and I was watching it, there's a couple of things in there that some religious things were stirred up in me. Can you believe it? In other words, it's saying something that, when I say religious things, what I'm talking about is something that is not traditionally the way I would do things. And I was like, well, wow, I'd never thought about doing like that. Like this one person was praying, laying hands on people, and just, all he would say is, the kingdom of God comes upon you. And I was like, well, that's kind of a crazy way to pray. But you know, they were healed, so what difference did it make? What did I know? And I guess if that's the way you want to pray, who am I to say what he wants to pray? You with me? Oh, does that mean we always have to pray, the kingdom of God come upon you? Well, I think you should be listening to the Holy Ghost and be impressed and do what he tells you to do. And if it's, howdy, you want to be healed? Come on, Jesus. Woo! Then that works too. Amen? Why do we always have to put it all into a doctrinal box? Why can't it just be the supernatural normal for life? You pray for somebody and say, man, I feel hot when you're praying for me like that. Well, it's just the presence of God there. Why do we have to explain it? We're going to explain anything about heaven?
Well, let me see. If you go over here and you look,
what are you talking about? What do you know about heaven? Man, none of us ever been. We can read it and talk about it. Can you imagine? Folks, listen to me. You know, I've told you how I like a good donut. Right? I'm just a glazed donut kind of guy. I like a good donut, all right? But if I had never eaten a donut, never tasted of a donut, only read in the Bible or read in a book about a donut and what it tasted like and listened to testimony from other people about eating a donut and how good it was, but I never tasted of the donut. But I had a donut doctrine. And I told everybody, there's this thing, it's called a donut. And we know it. And I studied it and found out all about the ingredients within the donut and found out what was in there and how it was made and why it stayed together. And preached messages on how this whole donut stayed together and that it had a hole in the center of it. And that sometimes you could eat that hole, that other donut, and that could even be good, the donut hole. And then the glaze, and I talked about the sugar and how it was put on there and how they did it. And some people like sprinkles and they like this. And I had this doctrine of donuts, and y'all came every week and I told you all about these donuts, and y'all knew more about donuts than any people had ever known in the world about donuts and how they're made. You went to people's houses and they said something about donuts, and oh yeah, I know all about donuts, man. I go to donuts all the time. Yeah, we got donuts. They're really good. You want to get to eat, but we never ate any donuts. Is that not what's happening with Christians? They're going through and they're studying the Bible. They're looking at all the stuff. They're talking about the Holy Ghost. They're going through all this kind of stuff. They have it all learned. They have it all learned. They've gone to universities and learned and got doctorate degrees in the proficiency of creating and making donuts and how you make donut factories. But ain't nobody ever ate a donut. But if you ever ate a good donut, you know it's a good donut. Am I right? If you get a good one that just melts in your mouth, not the day old stale one, not some old anointing, but some good fresh anointing that just melts in your mouth. Y'all following me on this? And that donut goes and melts in your mouth. You say, my, 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 my. And then if anybody tries to serve you anything that's not that donut, you say, that's not a donut. What do you call that? Are y'all with me here? This is my whole donut theology that I just thought of right now. Yeah, I hope so. And that's what's happening in churches. And there's the glazed donut church, and there's the sprinkle church, and there's the chocolate donut church, and the donut-filled church. But ain't nobody ever eat a donut. They don't know Jesus and the power of God and how good he really is and what it's like to come into your life and set you free. They just know the theory of the donut. And it's time for us in life to say, look, folks, you've got to eat a donut. Well, how are you going to eat the donut? Well, you're going to pray for somebody and they're going to get healed. You're going to walk up to somebody and tell them about what salvation is and Jesus forgive them of their sins. And when they repent and he does, then they're going to say, whoa, yeah, Bruce. See, that's what I'm talking about. You gave him a donut. Whole and everything. You see, that's what I'm talking about right there. You gave him a donut. He experienced what a donut was. He didn't hear the theology of a donut. He got to eat it. Come on now. Amen. See, that's it. That's it. See, we should have had the guy come video that. That's the what we're talking about. Absolutely. 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 Perfect. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Jesus. And it was pretty simple, wasn't it? Wow. Isn't that amazing how it works? Yeah, Bill. Yeah, Dr. Hawkins. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's right. Eat the donut. You'll know it. Uh-huh. All right. Yep. Hey, you're not convince me heaven's real. I just want to eat the donut from heaven. And I'm not really hungry. I mean, I didn't come up with that because I'm hungry. I'd eat a donut, though. I have to admit, when times are tough, I'll even eat a bad donut. I mean, when it gets really tough, I'll even go to the little white powdered ones. You know, that's tough, but I mean, it's still a donut. Yeah, Maggie? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, interesting thing, I met, and we're going to have some stuff about this soon, with some people from Romania that were doing an orphanage over there, and that lady had epilepsy. And God spoke to her and told her to go to Romania. And I'm like, wow, you know, what an adventure of faith when you know you have epilepsy and go to, and so she went on her own and got out in the middle of Romania and God worked a miracle and were hooked up with some people. And anyway, she started going, and then all of a sudden one day she realized she was never having any seizures, never having to take medicine. Things going, she was totally completely healed. Amen. That's what faith will do for you. Amen. So I want to tell you, man, I'm proud of you guys. I'm proud to pastor this church. I think we are the greatest church on the face of the earth. And I see nothing but good things. Good things. Good things. And greater things to come. Amen. Greater things to come. Praise God. So look at the person beside you saying, you've done a good job.